Father in heaven, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you are to us. You are our everything. You have made unto us wisdom. You have made unto us righteousness. Made unto us sanctification and redemption. We have wisdom, the wisdom of God. Father, we worship you this morning, Lord. We are gathered around your word again and to fellowship one with another. Blessed be the glorious name, Lord. Father, Bible says, the entrance to your word giveth life. This word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Therefore, as darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, we, the children of God, have the light of life and we are walking in that light. Blessed be his holy name. Bible says, if we walk in the light, our sin itself is in the light. Then we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord cleanses us from all sins. We are of them who are dead unto sin and we are alive unto righteousness in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read the word this morning, Lord, let that blessing be upon us. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to read from the fourth chapter of Luke. I just to take a text from that place. We know in the fourth chapter of Luke is where the Lord after his manner, you know, and on the Sabbath day, and we entered into the temple, and we, you know, give him the scripture, and he read it. So one of these days, you know, in Luke chapter 4, then, when he was there, they gave him the book and so forth. When they opened it, the Bible says, he found a place, right, was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken hearted, he said in that chapter, and they didn't know India. And to be delivered to the captives, the open of eyes to the blind, he said. To set us liberty, then that are bruised. This day, he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, quoting Isaiah, right? And the Bible says they were all sitting down quietly, at what a wonderful, gracious word. The Bible says that came out of his mouth. Praise the Lord. Anyway, about the 23rd verse of that chapter, and he said unto them, he said unto them in that 24th verse of Luke 4, 23rd verse rather, and he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb. That's right. Physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have had done in Capernaum, that was his headquarters, right? Capernaum was the Lord's headquarters. Why? It was a crossroad of many trade routes, amen? So he put his headquarters in there so many can hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. He goes back and forth into different places and so on. Anyway, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. That's what the Lord said here. So here, the Lord draw an illustration from the life of Elijah. Look at the story of Elijah. Remember, we told until Revelation 11, when he comes again with Moses. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be told until Revelation 11. The two witnesses of Revelation 11 and so on. Who knows how many more days we have until that time, the great tribulation and so on. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. With signs crossing signs everywhere, So we should be wide awake, Anyway. So the Lord, So when the prophet needed a sanctuary, meaning Elijah, during the time he was a fugitive from the king of Israel, And while the great famine was on, he was not sent to any of the people of Israel, but rather to a poor widow who with her son lived as a Zelapah of the district of Sidon beyond the borders of Israel. What does that mean to us? Thus God will show that he is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of the motives of the heart. Praise the Lord. So if the Lord begin by referencing that, are we by the grace of God also draw an illustration from the life of Elijah this morning? To bring out this thing I want to talk about, I call this, God's resources are inexhaustible. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Referencing the case of the inexhaustible May barren. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we see what the Lord can just, what the Bible will tell us this morning. In 1 Kings 17:7, and it came to pass, after a while, that the brook Cherith dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, meaning Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You know, at this end of time, we call it Elijah things, right? God will lead his people step by step, but they must listen to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is, Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him. How many times so he will lead us step by step? Yeah. In the previous verse, the last chapter, go and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And the ravens, I command the ravens to feed you their life. He takes care of his elect, amen? Even this end time, he's doing the same thing to his elect. Praise the Lord. And when he got there, of course, the raven was feeding him and he was drinking of the brook. All of a sudden, the brook dried up, amen? Praise the Lord. What will Elijah do? He listened to the Lord, amen? So we have to be careful. Yeah, he will do step by step. When one blessing or closes, God, if you listen enough, it will lead you to a higher ground, amen? Amen? Not less, praise the Lord, to more greater supernatural things. So the test of today, the Lord led me here. All of this, he tried off. If you listen enough, it will lead you to a higher ground, to a better thing to do. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we see. So God will lead his elect of these last days, step by step. But they must follow the steps of the faith of Elijah, amen? Praise the Lord. Had Elijah been a man that went by appearances, he would surely have been disheartened upon his arrival at Zarephath. See? He might have supposed that the Lord would send him to a family with means, but one glance told him that the woman was apparently in a desperate circumstances and so forth. Don't reason out the things of the Lord, amen? Just follow him step by step. Whatever he says, don't reason it out. Lean not unto your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, amen? Praise the Lord. Do not lean to your own understanding. Just follow him. Whatever he says, can never fail. His word will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Elijah, however, was never disturbed by outward circumstances, amen? Never. His thoughts were only upon those said the Lord. God says to his, accept it, amen? Praise the Lord. Because God has said to us, just accept it. Many a person, having received a clear call from God to go to a certain field of labor, has upon arriving there found the circumstances to be anything but encouraging. See? Yet, only one thing is important. Has God sent you there or that person to that place? If so, he will see him through, amen? Praise the Lord. If that's why I have to be very, very careful. The Lord says, I do nothing but what the Father has shown me. Praise the Lord. So once we are sure, we have to be sure that what we are doing, that is in line with the word of God, and no matter what I face there, I will have confidence to face it, amen? Praise the Lord. Because he will see you alive through and so like that, So he will see us through. Anyway, hold on, okay. Yet, only one thing is very important. If God has sent us there, or any person there, and so on, he will see that person through. When everything is promised, or provided, rather, there is little necessity for God to show his power. But when the need requires, God is present to perform a miracle. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Where the need arises in the life of a child of God, God is present to perform a miracle. Evidence of the woman's poverty could be seen as Elijah approached the city. He found the woman gathering sticks outside the gate. Nevertheless, Elijah, without hesitation or ceremony, made his request. Anyway, 17:10 of 1 Kings. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Turn out that as the woman responded to his request. But, you know, she had hardly started on that errand when Elijah said again in verse 11, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in my hand. Then said the woman sadly explained to Elijah that she had only a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. Now she was gathering, as the Bible says, gathering a few sticks so that she and her son might eat it and die. Praise the Lord. Elijah was not even disturbed by that, amen? Praise the Lord. All because he had just said the Lord, right? I don't care what the woman condition is, God told me to come here. That person is forever, amen? He was confident. So he wasn't disturbed. He had been fed by the ravens before, amen? Before coming here from the group Cherith, amen? So therefore the same God who sent the ravens to me to feed by that group Cherith, is more than able. It's not all reason whatsoever to fear that God will not, will supply the need right now. So, many of the times, when you are facing a difficult situation, you can look back, the thing that the Lord has done for you in a way, amen? David did it too, when he faced Goliath, amen? The God who delivered him for the paw of the lion and of the bear, who are these circumstances finished to defy the armies of the living God, amen? Praise the Lord. So, you can draw on that. So, in 1 Kings 17:13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. What boldness. Look at the terrible situation. What boldness. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and for thy son. What faith. You might say, I have a little, just a morsel of bread. We are not going to get the extra one. Praise the Lord. But Elijah was confident because he has had thus said the Lord. He always does things by thus said the Lord. Even at Carmel, when he prayed, he cut out the fire and so forth, So he told the people, he said, Lord, if you have told me this thing before, that's why I have confidence here. In this verse here, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So it was a very severe test for Elijah himself too, and the woman too. The woman believed in Israel's God, quite all right. But to give the little food that she had left to a stranger, even though he's a prophet, right? That's a hard test, right? Praise the Lord. You might have heard about it. So it was a hard test for that woman and so on. Seemed a hard thing to do. Nevertheless, she did as she was bid. And here is a forceful lesson on giving. Forceful lesson on giving. Throughout the Bible, in the same pattern, never changes, something like that, All the common laws of prudence will have forbidden this woman to do such an act. The woman of this, wisdom of this world will say this word, before she gave away the last of her food, she better make sure that something there to come back to her and something like that, you know. That is the wisdom of the world, right? However, the woman decided to obey. And in so doing, what did it get? She intercepted the divine law of giving that was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ himself in Luke 38. She intercepted a divine law that our Lord taught in Luke 38. Say, give, and it shall be given unto you, the Lord said. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That woman, you know, found that law right there by obeying the word of Elijah and so on. Had she refused Elijah's appeal, know what happened to her? She would have eaten her last meal and died with her child. That's great famine, right? See? Anyway, and as it turned out, after feeding Elijah, she returned to the barrel, and look, there was still meal at the bottom of the barrel. Likewise, the oil had not diminished at all. No matter how many times she returned for more meal and oil, there was still something in their leg and so on. The point is, God's resources cannot be exhausted in it. That's what I'm trying to bring out in this story of Elijah and so on. I talked about the Bible. God's resources can never be exhausted and so on. But the law of giving precedes the law of receiving throughout the Bible. The law of giving precedes the law of receiving. Give, and it shall be given unto you, the Bible says. The meal multiplied and the oil flow only as it was used. I heard that law of God, only as it was used, right? 1 Kings 17, 16 says this. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the law, which is spake by Elijah. In other words, the barrel did not fail, nor the cruse of oil flow over, but both meal and oil came only as needed. And there is a lot of that in the Bible too. Another case, to show you what I'm talking about here, only as was needed, right? There was one woman in the days of Elisha the prophet, in 2 Kings 4, the widow of another widow of the son of the prophet. And she has two sons, I believe it is. And, you know, many, many creditors come to her, you know, for the debt, to pay off her debt and so on and that, you know. And they want to take them as bond women, I mean, as bond men. If she can't pay up and so on and that, they want to come and garnish all she has and so on and that, you know, even including her sons. Anyway, and she cried to Elisha the prophet, you know, and, you know, let me read that one to you in 2 Kings, about chapter 4. Familiar story, yes. I'm saying that God will supply the need of his people until there's no more need, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so Elisha said unto her in 2 Kings 4, 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Like the Lord will always do. In your prayers, be specific, amen? Praise the Lord. Don't go around the circle and so on. No, around the circle and so on. Like, you know, you see the leper, what will I do for that? You make the Bartimaeus, what will I do for you? That I see. So what the woman said, well, he said, you know, to me, what shall I do for you and so on? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. When he said that, then he said, go borrow, you know, the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou hast come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her son, and her son, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. What happened there? And the oil stayed. Amen. Supply until there was no one needed, right? All the vessels were full, and then the oil stayed. So even the days of the children of Israel in the wilderness and so on, the manna ceased. After the children of Israel ate the old corn of the land, God supplied all the needs, right? Until there is no more need. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10, talking about God of abundance, right? He will supply all the needs until there is no more need. And we do the same thing today for his elect when we have this mindset of God, because it can never be exalted and so on. Joshua 5, 10 says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. That was their first encampment in the land. Even though the other part of Jordan, the tribe of Reuben, half tribe of Ephraim, and the Gad already got their own land on the other part of Jordan. They have crossed Jordan now, we need to possess the land, right? Gilgal is their very first place in Jericho to be and so on, that, you know. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, on 11 cakes and a parched corn in the same day, verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So 40 years God fed them, you know, and you know, supplied all their needs and so on, took care of them. Then when there's no more need, God of abundance, right? You can't exhaust it. I mean, can you imagine 40 years fed them and so on with manna from heaven and so forth, you know? So these last days too, and God will gather his people, God will supply his people until the translation comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Doing it, and if we do it and something like that, you know. So anyway, so the Lord, I mean, you know, the disciples in a talk of God of abundance, right? So one time the Lord said to the disciples, beware of the level of the Pharisees. Everybody think, is it because we don't take any bread with us and so on, that, you know? Then the Lord asked them in Mark 8:19. So why are you thinking about it, you know, about the bread and so on? When I break, that is Mark 8:19. When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, they said 12. And when I went the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took it up? And they say 7. The point is, if there had been 1 million in those places, they would have all got fed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah. So I'm talking about God, because it can never be exhausted. So they were all fed, no matter what, of little or nothing. Just like the woman and the meal, right? The same Lord Jesus, right? Is that right? Praise the Lord. No matter what you have, you know, they say always have something at hand, you know, at home or something like that, you know. So anyway, God will multiply whatsoever you have. Praise the Lord Jesus. So have something. Anyway, so we see at one time, you know, talking about bread and so on, and God and the children of Israel, I mean the Hebrews and so on. The Lord said, you know what? Moses didn't give that bread, but my Father who is in heaven gave you that bread. Praise the Lord. The one who fed them for 40 years in the wilderness is one who is fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. So anyway, blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to have that mindset. God's resources can never be exhausted, no matter what our need may be. He will meet your need and supply all your need. We'll come to that one later anyway. So if you want a miracle to take place, there must be a need for that miracle, really, for it to take place. There must be a need. In all these conditions, there was a need, right? So there must be a need for it. In general, God does not store up a lot of goods for us so that we will have a large reserve to fall back on. God wants us to fall back on Him. Amen. Daily dependence. Praise the Lord. Daily dependence and so on. He calls for that. He wants us to be ever dependent on Him and not on the arm of flesh. That's what He wants and something like that, you know. And this is the case. Even when God supplies abundance, He wants you and I to still depend upon Him. Praise the Lord. So even when you have a brother, yeah, you can have a big back account. Nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. You know, and so, but in general, you want us to depend on Him. Anyway, this is the case even when He has blessed so that there's a brother. Yes, a child of God can have a brother. Even in Genesis 13 verse 2 concerning Abraham, right? And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. You see? So, but you know what? Giving, even in the case of Abraham, in the same pattern, giving precedes receiving. Amen?
Amen.
Was 75 years old, in Genesis 12, when God called him, leave this your land and so on, go to the land I will show you. His father Terah was a rich person, right? How can I leave all these things that my father had here? But he obeyed the voice of God. Praise the Lord. He gave everything, you know. So now before you come to this verse I just read, now, giving precedes receiving, right? God of abundance and so forth now. So he showed himself as the God of abundance, to Abraham. He was rich in cattle. In fact, anyway, so let's go on. Even in the book of Job, we are told in verse 24, when God has blessed you and so forth, you are still to depend upon Him, you know. In Job 20:24, then shalt thou lay up gold as the dust, and the gold of Ophir, and the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now, watch out. When you have got all that gold and everything like that, don't turn on God, amen? Don't turn against God. Praise the Lord. See, depend upon Him. See, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. That is the true delight of God, amen? Abraham all had, he had gold, he had silver, he had cattle and everything. He was still the friend of God, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So anyway, dependence, whatever condition we are to depend upon Him daily. In the battle of faith, we can never rest on our laurels. Victory today does not mean that the devil will not attack on the morrow. Satan continually seeks to offset things for the children of God. The earlier we learn that lesson, the better we are in this battle. This fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Satan continually seeks to offset things for the children of God. He looks for a weak point, and then he strikes. You know. Back to our story of Elijah, we jump in and out of that story and so on. That you know, as I talk about this, God's prophecy cannot be exalted and so on. Anyway, Satan struck the child of the woman with sickness, as we read in the Bible, 1 Kings 17:17. And it came to pass after this thing that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Well, from what you can read from this text, steadily the malady grew worse and worse until the boy died and so on. Apparently, life had ceased to be. What a strange thing that death could come to a place where Elijah was living. Can you imagine that? That great prophet and so on, you know. What a strange thing that death could come into a home where Elijah was staying. And people always wonder sometimes why is it that ministers who believe in divine healing are tested in their own body or those of their family. People will wonder and so on, as you know. But the devil will attack wherever he can. That is the thing we have to learn, you know. We attack wherever he can. That is his business, to offset it for the chain of God everywhere, and all that, you know.
It is up to us to meet the attack with courage. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We have been warned over in the Bible and so on. Also, you and I, to meet the attack with courage and not to falter. What iota in our faith? We shouldn't. We must not waver. As the Bible warns us, the one who wavers in James 1, 6 and 7, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Even in the middle of the test, don't waver. Amen. You have, I have the word of God. You have just stay upon the word of the Lord. At times, the battle may be hot, the pressure terrific, but those who are like Elijah will never accept defeat or failure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Never will accept defeat or failure and so on, because the Lord is with you and so on. No matter how hot, how terrific the pressure may be and so on. Apparently, Elijah had not been called until the child was very, until he died. That's all that, Anyway, it was a sin calculated indeed to cause dismay. The lad was the only child and the mother was taking it very, very hard, like any other person will do, right? And the child is Elijah here, and so on like that, And to her, there seemed to be some connection between Elijah's presence and the death of her child. That was the thing to her, because he told us, perhaps this sorrow had come unto her because of her past sin. From my own confession, in verse 18, of 1 Kings 17. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Had thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay and to slay my son? So what happened? She saw how her own life contrasted with that of Elijah. That's all that, She realized that she was a sinner. And furthermore, that there was probably some connection between sin and sickness. That's what she thinks. In her vexation, she asked the man of God if he had come to call her sin to remembrance. Now, one thing we learn from there, people always connect sin to sickness and so on. Even the disciples thought the same thing, right? In John chapter 9, of the man that was born blind, right? John 9. Lord, he said, who sinned, this man, or his parents, that he was born blind, right? The Lord said in verse 3 of John 9, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So not all sickness are due to sin. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's the point. Even the one was thinking the same thing, the disciples are thinking the same thing anyway. Many people, when they have received some special blessing from God, they become surprised and alarmed when strange and fiery trials come their way. When they have been warned in the Bible, don't even think of the fiery trial that means to try you and so on. That, they become alarmed and so because of the fiery trial that come after a great blessing. They hardly know what to do with it or make of this trial after a great blessing, right? They say to themselves, why did God allow this to happen? Or what did I do that this had to take place? But such is no time for self-incrimination, brother and sister, amen? That's not the time for that. All but want to let doubt come into the heart concerning the providence of God. Don't question God's providence, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, hallelujah. Anyway, when trials and troubles come, the thing to do is to fly to the throne of grace. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's the only way out of it. God has the solution. He has power to solve every problem. And I mean every problem. Amen? Praise the Lord God. If we do it, as we trust him. Elijah had one source that never failed him. What was it? And he turned to it every time. But first, he would take the child and get away from the woman who was so distracted with her grief. They carried him, as the story goes, upstairs to the loft. When he had spent, where he had spent many hours with God, right? So he took him right there. That is in 1 Kings 17, 19. And he said unto her, give me that son. Very confident, right? Give me that son. That's a dead boy. Don't forget, it is a dead boy, right?
Yes.
Give me that son. You see, what faith can do, right? So give me that son. And let me get to where I'm at. Okay, anyway. Give me that son. And he took him out of a bolster and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Well, for a case like this, he must get away from that woman, or human weakness rather, human despair and human doubt, like our Lord did when he raised up the daughter of Jairus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, when he got there, they were all crying and so on. Don't bother, the daughter is dead and so on. The Lord said, well, she's not dead but sleepeth in it. And they mocked the Lord. Praise the Lord. He put them all away. And I don't want unbelief around me here. Praise the Lord. And so he raised that daughter from the dead and so on. That, just putting some additional things here. No matter what you face as a child of God, that's an answer from the Lord, amen. I'm bringing out these difficult cases in the Bible. I just say, bring that, as if it's a living child. No, it's a dead son. I say, bring it to me. We're so confident. Praise the Lord. No matter what you face, just trust in the Lord and so forth. Anyway, in the Lord. Now, the secret of Elijah's power was that he lived in a realm above the distractions of his day, amen. Today there are many distractions, like Abraham was talking earlier in the day and so on, more cast and so on, what do you do? Anyway, he was impatient with any thought of failure or defeat. There in his room, he laid the child on the bed and cried to the Lord, almost with indignation. Why had the Lord slain the child of the woman where he had sojourned? Why had the Lord brought trouble to the woman who had provided him a place to stay? Elijah was a man of faith, but there were things that he did not know. Nobody knows all things, only the Lord, amen? Only the Lord is omniscient. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even in prophecy, we only prophesy in part, amen? Praise the Lord. What the Bible says, amen? Praise the Lord. We prophesy in part. Until the prophets come, right? Now the Bible tells us as well, Men of faith can sometimes be mistaken in their theology. People are apt to think that any man that has miracles in his ministry must be correct in all his doctrine. Not so. Not necessarily. Elijah was convinced that no other man was left in Israel but himself, who had not bow the knee to bear. As great a prayer he was. He was wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord told him that. So God said unto him, I have 7,000, Bible says, who have not bowed the knee to bear. Praise the Lord. See what he says? He thought that he was the only man in the land that really believed God. He was wrong again. But God showed him that the man coming after you, that you performed twice as many miracles that you did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. So it's in the Bible. Anyway, whose ministry, meaning Elisha, in some ways, was to exceed his. A man who performed twice as many miracles. Elijah thought that God had slain the child of the widow. He was wrong again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even Elijah thought it was God that slain that child. Praise the Lord. And he was wrong. And he was like a Job who, when he lost his children in the cyclone, said in Job 121, "The Lord gave her, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord," he said. Job was right in that the Lord has given, right? But he was wrong. It was the devil that took that did all those things to him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because we are told in Job thought that the Lord has smitten him with boys.
Mm-hmm.
But we are informed by the scripture that it was the devil that put those boys on him. Job 2:7. So when Satan, that's right, fought from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sword boys from the sword of his feet to the crown of his head. So the thing is, the source of trouble of God's children is just one place, Satan. Amen. Praise the Lord. One way or the other, you know, we'll be ignorant of something, but like Job was. No, anyway, many of our trouble come from the same source, meaning the devil and so on that, you know. Now, Elijah thought that the Lord has caused the death of that child and so on. But we know, however, that it is the devil that afflicts people with sicknesses and so on that, you know. We are told in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Went about good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But whatever the cause, Elijah at least knew who had the power to do the healing. Amen?
Amen.
Matter what problem I'm going through and so on, whatever is responsible and so on, I know God can solve this problem, no matter what they are. So he cried to the Lord and said in 1 Kings 17, like I said, we jump in and out of that story and so on, 17:10. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched forth, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord had the voice of Elijah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. He had the voice of Elijah. No matter how impossible it may be. Anyway, voice of Elijah and so on. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, that son liveth." Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is the time of seeing that God expects of his children in this last days and so on. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God,
mm-hmm.
and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Amen.
Mm-hmm.
In this last we are praying and believing God by the moving of the Spirit. Bible says, you know, a man come around you in your midst and so on, that, you know, and you prophesy, and you told him all that is in his heart. Won't he fall down before you and say, "God, it is the deeds of you"? Amen. Praise the Lord. So there was no precedence of the dead being raised, the deeds of Elijah, not one. So don't think my problem is so big that you're so unsolvable. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, no. So no precedence. No. Never before in history, as of that time, had a dead person be brought back to life again. We can understand the woman's anguish, for she had no reason to believe that the child would come back to life. Death has struck many millions of times, as well as you know, and nobody could do anything about it. For the first time in history, death was forced to give up his prey, and all because Elijah was a man that refused to accept defeat. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. When you know you are in the will of God, no matter what opposition you face, amen, stand right with the word of God, amen. He will see you. If you don't give up, you know, he will see you through it. He lives in Elijah, in the realm of the supernatural. Notice this miracle and the result. The boy's sickness and death brought no spiritual blessing to the woman, only despair and doubt concerning God's providence. But when the son was raised from the dead, her joy knew no bounds and so on. Now she knew that Elijah was a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in his mouth is true. Now, just another thing I want to talk about. Remember Jacob, right? He was a sharp bargainer. You know, Jacob and so on, later become Israel and so forth. He's always a grabber. Grab. Talking about God's abundance, right? And eventually he had to run away from home, you know, from his brother Esau and so on like that, you know. And of course, you know, as he was going, I saw the ladder of angels and the Lord on top of it and so on like that, you know. And of course, he made a promise this time around. If you lead me this way that I'm going and bring me back to this my father in peace, he said, of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mean, giving, I mean, always precedes receiving. So anyway, he had been grabbing and grabbing this time around, and of all you gave me, I will give you a tenth. Peradventure, he had been told what his grandfather did when coming from the slaying of the, you know, of the king in Genesis chapter 14. How Melchizedek next him, you know, that, you know. Bible says he gives me a tithe of all, right? So he had been taught, you know, taught about the tithe and so on. So now when he was in trouble, crisis of his life, his grandfather Abraham, his grandfather, right? Oh Lord, of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And so he went 20 years later and so on. And coming back and so on. Another big trouble and so on, that, you know. But I would say that with my staff alone, I called this Jordan. Now I'm back with two bands, amen. Praise the Lord. God of abundance opened the heaven for him and so on, that, you know. So he became a God of abundance. They can even give hundreds of sheep to his brother Esau and so on, that, you know. God has blessed him. You know, actually, like a grabber, God's inexhaustible blessings and so on. Look at what he went through and everything like that, you know. So, with all my staff, I have nothing with me. I used a stone for a pillow when I was going, you know. Now I'm coming back with two bombs, you know, and so on. Droves and so on like that, you know. I mean, inexhaustible, you know, blessings of God, or God's blessings and so on. No matter what condition you find yourself, difficulty will come and go between you and I. But don't get stuck right now. Look how that mindset. Now, in James 1:4. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why are you to be wanting nothing? Because God supplied the name. Praise the Lord. We are told in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is the God of abundance, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus, to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So don't forget, you know, the woman of Zarephath and so forth, you know, until the famine ended, she ate and drank, amen? So, even the woman, the wife, the widow of the son of the prophet, filled all the vessels until there was no more vessels to fill, right? Mm-hmm. So, I look at Elijah, no matter what difficulty we face, precedence or no precedence, doesn't matter. God is God, amen? So, and he's going to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory, and his resources are inexhaustible. Bible is full of that, and so this one, let us go with this mindset. Don't let the present problem or anything like that stop in the way of your faith of believing that God will be able to perfect that which concerns you, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Perfect all that which concerns you. The Bible said that you know, the free trial, we try, every one of us go through one thing or the other, but the God of grace, the God of grace, who has brought us to eternal glory, after you have suffered for a while, right, will perfect you and me, you know, establish, set you, and perfect all that concerns you. Praise the Lord. Look for that abundance, the God of abundance, throughout the Bible, you can go through it and don't be get stuck with the present situation in your life. You know, look, no matter how unprecedented the condition may be, we have the God who is more than sufficient. Amen?
Amen.
Our sufficiency is in God. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think of ourselves as anything. Through Him we can do all things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. Just a nutshell kind of exhortation of the unlimited, oh Lord God, of God's resources. And they are meant for us. Bible says in the book of Romans, 8 and so on. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs mean that all that our Heavenly Father has belong unto us. Bible says we know. Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? How that he was rich, but he became poor, that through his poverty he might be rich. So this morning, let us always have the mindset, no matter what condition we are in, Lord, to look for that unlimited resources of the Almighty, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we worship and we adore you this morning. We thank you and we thank you always because you love us.
Amen.
Bible says, he that spare not his son, but deliver him for us all. How shall he not freely, give us all things? No matter what you have been believing God unto this very moment, how shall he not also freely give unto us all things? I always like the word or in the Bible, all things. No matter how the difficulty has been to this very day, let us look unto him. They look unto him, and their faces are not ashamed. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you are crying unto him, God had the voice of Elijah. He hear your voice too, amen? Your miracles are just around you, amen? Just open up this morning. Bless be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you again as we go this morning with this mindset that with us, all things are possible. The Lord said, with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Then he turned it to us again. He said, with us, as we believe him, nothing shall be impossible unto us. Thank you, Father. We worship you and we adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And in the praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.